We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the DFS OGs podcast presented by FanDuel. Week 13. Guys, we are running out of time here in the NFL season, but we are here to break down the entire Week 13 main slate with our favorite bets and our favorite DFS plays. I am your host, as always, Beer, joined by my boys Notorious and Head Chopper. Chop, let's start with you this week, and we'll update our standings in the Pick'em contest, but one of us had a pretty good week here, so I'm kind of tipping my hat already here, but Chop, kind of running away with this thing, so we'll look at that here momentarily, but how are you, my man? How was your Thanksgiving? How was your week 12?
Oh, I see you trying to put the jinx on me there. There's no running away. Remember, we got an extra week this year. There's all kinds of things that could happen here, but Turkey Day was good. Nice little Thursday, and then the day after, got out there and put up some lights, so got the hard stuff behind us, and, you know, it's looking good, man. It's that time of year now.
Yeah, I still have the lights to do both inside and outside. The kids are on me, man. Once Thanksgiving hits, they're attacking me, so everything's ready to go. Just waiting for some of the snow to melt. Derek, how are you, buddy? How was Thanksgiving? How was your week 12?
Yeah, week 12, pretty terrible, but Thanksgiving was pretty good. Got to see some family over the weekend, so that was a lot of fun. Good times. Definitely didn't have any success in the bets or in DFS. So hopefully some of you out there had a little bit better week than we did.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully you guys joined us in our FanDuel OGs contest. Again, you can find all the information for that at FanDuel.com/OG. Right there is the link to enter the contest. The leaderboard, everything you need right on one page. But if you're new, you haven't heard of it yet, or if you've been around a while, we're going to remind you of it again. $7 single entry buy-in tournament, season-long payouts in this thing. So a buy-in point for everybody, $5,000 to the winner in extra prizes. Not to mention, we're going to continue to give here on the OGs podcast. If you are rocking that Roto Grinders badge and you win this tournament, you're going to win 1 year of Roto Grinders Premium combo. So all the sports absolutely free. So pretty big addition to the prize pool. So we'll see if we had another winner this week rocking that RG badge. So we'll update those standings here later in the show as well. But guys, let's jump right into it here. We got a lot of games to get to. Let's start with the Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincy -3, 50.5 on the total. So Derek, we'll start with you here. Tale of two teams. Cincinnati rolls division opponent Pittsburgh. Chargers, we all thought we're going to roll Denver. They do what the Chargers tend to do and let us down. So not hitting on that OG's parlay last week. So how do you see this one playing out? Looks like a great spot for Joe Mixon, who just continues to score touchdowns, six of them over the last 3 weeks on the ground alone. 8 straight games with a touchdown, Derek. Feels like a pretty smash spot here to lead us off for Joe Mixon against his Chargers run D.
Yeah, good matchup for sure. And game log watchers, they're going to love Mixon this week. I mean, his logs are pretty impressive. I think he's had at least 25 fantasy points in 5 of his last 6 games. Now gets a great matchup at home. So certainly don't mind him. This is probably the most expensive he's ever been, if I remember correctly. So if you want to get a little bit different, I don't mind targeting the passing game here. I know the matchup isn't as good, but Burrow, he's very efficient. He's got plenty of weapons to work with. You can go with Chase or Boyd, I think, Higgins. I think both of them are in play. I'm still off of Boyd. I know he had, you know, a big week a couple weeks ago, but yeah, a lot of interesting options over there. And then you can obviously bring it back with the main guys on the Chargers. I like Eckler. I like Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is a guy that can break the slate each and every week. So certainly interesting game. I think you can stack it a number of ways. And, man, I'm kicking myself. I said last week, Chargers, this is the spot. They're going to lose. We all know it's going to happen. And we still, all three of us picked the Chargers. So a little disappointed there. I think they bounce back. I'll take the points. I think it's a field goal game either way. So just give me the points.
I'm going with the Chargers as well. They tend to do the opposite of what you think you're going to do. And this spread, just something seems off. I mean, how is Cincinnati only a 3-point favorite here at home? With the way they're playing, you got a lot of things pointing against the Chargers. The public likely going to be all over the Bengals. So I'm with you here, Derek. I like the Chargers as much as I like Mixon and that Cincinnati offense for DFS. This Chargers offense, I think, is just as stackable, like you mentioned, with the passing game or even an Austin Eckler here. So, Chop, one of those fantasy bonanza type games. Are you with us on the Chargers? And what are you doing in DFS in this one?
I think DFS, like a game like this, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything. Yeah, these guys are all good plays, all the way quarterback, the running backs from both teams, and then your top two wide receivers on both teams. So Herbert, Burrow, Eckler, Mixon, Allen Williams on one side, Chase Higgins on the other. Like, they're all good, so I'm all for that. And then it's a tough pick right here. But I do think there's merit to this game just being decided by a field goal, which would mean that you're in a pretty good space there if you got the Chargers. I think that's the safer bet. So I'll take the Chargers here too.
All right. Locking in an early pick here, Chargers +3. Kind of surprised. I thought Cincinnati would garner some more love here with the way they're playing, the way they dominated Pittsburgh last week. But looks like all of us on the Chargers +3. If you're out in the chat, sound off. Let us know. Join in the conversation here. Got our boys Don Yeezy, Josh Duck, always hanging out with us every single Wednesday. So we appreciate them. Talking about Mixon, Jonathan Taylor. We'll get to him here shortly. And that Chargers run D. Yeah, Don Yeezy, they are not good against the run. So Mixon set up for success once again. All right, next game. On the docket, Minnesota and the Lions. The Vikings come in -7 here, 46.5 on the total. So, Chop, the Lions got me. I thought Thanksgiving, they could pull it off. They could get a win against the lowly Chicago Bears and Andy Dalton. So, rather than taking the 2.5 points, which would have ended up being a winner, got on that money line with Detroit, and they do what they tend to do, is let you down. So, still winless here this season. Minnesota playing some good football. News here. A running back related, no Dalvin Cook for Minnesota. So Alexander Mattison stepping in. The Sites did a pretty good job of pricing him up. Detroit side, sounds like DeAndre Swift could miss a couple weeks. So Jamal Williams, next man up here for the Lions. So, Chop, the Lions are always a team where we're thinking they can compete, they can stay competitive. I'm going to lock in the Lions here as my pick, +7. I do think they stay competitive even without Swift here. But this feels like a good spot to load up on some Vikings this week.
Yeah, I think so. I do have Madison in the season-long league, so that's looking up. That's the good news. The bad news is the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, I ran into Jonathan Taylor's big 50-point game, and then last week I played against Leonard Fournette, man, so I'm catching the bad breaks there, man. But I got Madison going this week. But, yeah, I think they're all – I think the Minnesota Vikings are in a good spot there. Cousins, Jefferson, Thielen, and then Madison, of course, running it back is going to be really good. Detroit, I'm a little worried. You're watching them on Thanksgiving. Like, man, you just go back to the beginning of the year, and I think we kind of all got like a little bit lured in by Jared Goff, man, that first week where it was just pure catch-up mode and you put up good numbers. And then like 2 weeks later, he was in Green Bay and was just all catch-up mode the second half and had a good game. And he just hasn't been very good. They don't push the ball downfield nearly enough. So it's really tough for that aspect of it, for that offense. So I'm a little worried on that part. But, yeah, I don't know, man. The Detroit side doesn't interest me too much. So I don't know. I don't want to go Detroit here. I think I'm going to go ahead and maybe in catch-up garbage time, maybe Goff puts up some points here. So I'm going to take the over.
All right, over for you. Detroit for me. We got some questions in the chat on this game. So, Chop, I'll stay with you here, and then we'll get to Derek. Jeremy Heisen wants to know, can you play Madison and Jamal Williams in the same lineup? He says, I know typically you don't do that in GPP. So, thoughts on that? And then they were talking some Josh Reynolds on DraftKings. Saw him catch that touchdown. We know he's got that correlation with Jared Goff going back to their time with the Rams. So thoughts on the running backs, thoughts on Josh Reynolds as a cheap play this week.
All right. So the man said in GPPs, you typically don't do that, but that's forget about that. In GPPs, you do whatever you want. All right. Anything goes. When you hear that, you know, two running backs from the same game on different teams, they don't correlate. Well, man, you'd have to, you know, go out 1,000 games to realize that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a small sample here. We're talking about one game. And you got both guys catch passes. Yeah, you can absolutely play two running backs from the same game like this. Absolutely. So I'm on board with that. And, yeah, there's no doubt that Goff has a little bit of a soft spot here for Josh Reynolds. So I definitely think Josh Reynolds will be the only Detroit wide receiver that remains in my player pool by Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'm with you on the running back thing. I mean, to me, GPPs are like the wild, wild west. Anything goes. And the more creative, the more you buck some of the traditional trends or rules that are out there, I think it makes sense. As far as Williams goes, the beauty of a Detroit running back, they're never going to be game scripted out. I mean, they can be down 28-0. They're still going to run the ball. They're still going to throw to them out of the backfield. So you have that going for you. As far as Minnesota goes, we know they love to load up on one running back. So Madison's going to get a ton of work. That being said, Derek, I think Justin Jefferson, a very intriguing play this week. If Madison is going to be overly owned and popular in a very good matchup and nothing against the play, maybe Jefferson gets forgotten here a little bit. So I really like him in the spot this week against Detroit.
Yeah. Hard not to like Jefferson, especially after Thielen, you know, had the big game last week. So I like that quite a bit. As you know, to back you guys up, the correlation table will say not to play opposing running backs, but like Chop mentioned, that's over 1,000+ games, 5+ years. And that takes, you know, every running back that's facing each other in the NFL. This is a unique situation in that both the backup running backs are priced down and they're both squaring off against each other. So I absolutely love the running backs. I'll probably be pairing them in my single entry build. And then so I'll be pairing them in tournaments as well. I won't be on Josh Reynolds. I know he's cheap, but there is a lot of value plays, especially at the running back position, even on DraftKings. So don't know if I'll go to Reynolds, but, yeah, I like Jamal Williams. I like Alexander Mattison. And then, obviously, Jefferson could have a monster game as well. And then, man, for my pick, I was going to go with Chop and take the over, but I can't agree with him on the first two. We're already trying to make up ground here. So, Beer, I'll go with you. I'll take Detroit.
All right. I don't know if you want to roll with me, though, either. Now you're on the opposite end of the spectrum here. I started out hot, and it's been a nightmare here lately. But I'll hopefully get back on track this week. Next game, Tampa Bay traveling to Atlanta. The Bucs up to minus 11 here in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Big total here, Derek, at 50.5. So last week, I think a lot of people, myself included, thought Tom Brady, the double stacks were the way to go. It ends up being Leonard Fournette. And the running game getting it done there against the Colts. The Falcons have just been a disaster this season, even with the return of Cordarrelle Patterson. So what do we do here with Tampa, Derek? Do we go back to Leonard Fournette here in a good matchup? Do we go back to the passing game? Can you play them all here? And then do you trust anybody on Atlanta? We keep waiting for Kyle Pitts. He keeps letting everybody down. Is Patterson the run it back here in a tough matchup with this Tampa Bay run D?
I mean, man, it's tough for Atlanta. Earlier in the season, you know, Tampa Bay, very good against the run, and then they were beatable through the air. But all of a sudden they're top eight against the run and the pass. So this is a defense that I don't really want to mess with. I know Atlanta's at home. I know they're probably going to be playing some catch up here, but I don't want to pay a premium for Patterson in a bad matchup. I don't feel great about Pitts. Like you mentioned, we just keep waiting for that breakout game. It hasn't came for, you know, over a month now. Gage isn't a guy that I love playing, so I'll probably be off of the Falcons. And then with Tampa, you can pretty much play whoever you want. You know, I'm still burned by Chris Godwin last week, but obviously a good bounce back spot for him. Mike Evans, anytime he doesn't have like one of those shutdown corners on him, he has slate breaking upside. Gronk coming off the big game, Fournette coming off the big game. You can really do whatever you want on Tampa side. And we've seen, you know, they don't abandon the pass if they're up big. So I don't mind taking some shots on some Brady stacks here, even if you don't run it back. And for my pick, man, 11's a lot, especially on the road. I'm going to take the under.
Oh, boy, we are 3 for 3 in lockstep here, Derek. I'm on the under here as well. It's a big number. I worry about Atlanta offensively, so maybe Tampa Bay rolls. But under was my pick. Josh Duck in the chat asking about Brown. I'm assuming he's talking Antonio Brown. Not sounding optimistic on Antonio Brown once again. So kind of a weird – this is taking a lot longer for him to return than we initially thought. As far as Patterson goes – this was the game he had the breakout. I think it was all the way back at the beginning of the year where he had a couple touchdowns. So, you know, maybe it is a decent matchup for him, Derek, but I'm with you. I don't want to pay that price on him. I'm not buying in on Kyle Pitts. So mostly going to be Brady in the passing game for me. 5 touchdowns for Brady against this Atlanta team back in week 2. I threw for 390 and 399 yards against them last season in 2 games. So clearly a matchup we know he can thrive in. Passing game where I want to go again with those double stacks. Chop, your turn. Tampa, Atlanta, what do you got?
I don't have much. I mean, it's I don't want to play any Falcons players. They're just, you know, the only one I would even entertain is Patterson, and I'm not even sure I want him this week. And then Tampa, yeah, do whatever you want with Tampa. I mean, I'm not going to try to, like, Leonard Fournette, man, 4 touchdowns last week. You just don't know. You just don't know when it's going to be his time, and they get down there on the one, and it could be Leonard Fournette's time, or Brady could sneak it in. You just don't know how it's going to play out like that. So play them all, man. Play them all, because they are going to score points in this game. They got almost a 31-team total. Just figure out how you want to pair them on each team. But, I'm looking at the defense for Tampa Bay, and I'm seeing how is Atlanta going to score here. It's going to be very, very – they're going to have to get very lucky to score. So with that in mind, I know Tampa will score. So give me Tampa Bay here.
All right, moving on. Next game in Arizona, traveling to Chicago. Cardinals sitting at -7.5 here in this one, total at 45.5. So – Chop, we'll stay with you. Arizona, we'll see. It sounds like Kyler Murray going to be back, but we've played this game now for seemingly about a month. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't sound as optimistic there, but again, we'll have to wait and see. So once again, Arizona, one of those wait-and-see situations overall. Chicago, same kind of thing. Justin Fields back at practice, but Andy Dalton taking first-team snaps. So who knows who's going to be under center here for the Chicago Bears. So Chop, the Bears, one of those teams, really tough to get excited about anybody here in this matchup. Arizona, a lot of injuries to work through here. Maybe the answer is simple, either avoid or even a James Conner play in the Arizona defense. So thoughts on this one, Chop, Cardinals and Bears?
I haven't looked at the weather report this week. So closer to kickoff, I'll start looking at some weather and see what Rock tells us. But we are getting into December now, and this is Chicago. So we'll see how the weather plays out. Now, I don't even know if it's even remotely bad or good or what, but anytime you get a team like Arizona traveling from a nice warm weather environment with clean weather all to Chicago in December, you gotta worry about it a little bit. So we'll check on that. Bottom line for Chicago, not interested. At some point, you got to draw lines and get guys out of your player pool. I don't want a player pool, even in GPPs, of 150 guys. I'm not going to do that, you know, so I got to narrow it down, and this is the way I do it. I was watching Thanksgiving. You're waiting for that big Montgomery breakout game, and they just don't block for him that much. So I don't think I can go that route. And the quarterback play doesn't inspire me, so I'm going to pass on Chicago. For Arizona, you hit it with the injuries. It's It's tough to call right now, not knowing what's going to happen with the injuries here. But, you know, if Kyler's in there, assuming the weather's okay, he's okay. But I'm not in love with it. I'm not in love with Hopkins this week. And they can spread the ball around. And maybe I think James Conner might be the best play on the team this week, assuming everybody's back and you got to account for Kyler running and DeAndre and all the other. James Conner may sneak in there and do what James Conner's done this year, which is dominate some games. So I think he's my favorite play in this whole game. As for a pick here, that's a big number, man. It's a big, but they're coming off a bye week. Ooh, this is a tough one. I'm hoping the weather might be a little rough here for Arizona, and they may get a little shocked stepping off the plane. So I'm going to take the under in this game.
I'm also on the under in this one. Again, I like Connor here. The Bears D missing some pieces, namely Khalil Mack. So it's not as intimidating of a matchup here. He can get it done on the ground and through the air. And there may be some value with his receivers if Hopkins is out. And I may have a little bit more interest there. But Kyler coming back, is he 100%? Is he going to run as much as he normally does? Just so many questions there. So I like Connor, like the Cards defense. And I am also on the under here. See, kind of an ugly game here. Derek, your thoughts, Cardinals, Bears?
I don't have much more optimism than you guys. I think Montgomery's at least a little intriguing. You know, Arizona, pretty average against the run. They're playing at home. He let everyone down on Thanksgiving. And he's dirt cheap. I mean, he's $5,600 on DraftKings, $6,500 on FanDuel. He's an interesting way to, you know, kind of pivot off of the popular value running backs from that other game we already talked about. Donyeezy bringing up Darnell Mooney. I don't hate it. Not my favorite play on the board, but he's been playing much better over the last couple weeks. So I don't mind those two guys. Arizona, yeah, just a wait-and-see approach. I do like the Connor play. Again, I don't think he's going to be very popular because some of these value running backs are going to be soaking up a lot of ownership. And, yeah, I'll go the under too, man. We're agreeing on a lot this week.
Oh, we'll see. Hopefully we get our parlay going here this week. It's been, you know, we're hitting on some and not at the clip we were hitting on last year. So I hate to say we're due, but all three on the under there. So we will add that to the LA Chargers at +3, two games on the parlay card. Don Yeezy asking about not only Mooney. If Robinson's out, I don't hate it, Don Yeezy, but I'm kind of with Derek. It's not the most exciting play in the world. You're counting on Andy Dalton against a pretty good defense, if there is any weather concerns. Even a Cole Kmet, I think there's a lot better tight ends, even some value tight ends at that price point. So just tough to get excited about a team with a team total under 20 led by Andy Dalton. So let's move on to our next game, guys. We have Philadelphia and the Jets. Philly -6.5, 45.5 on the total. So, Derek, we'll stay with you. Jalen Hurts dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury, so we'll have to keep an eye on that throughout the week. Is that going to zap any of his mobility? As far as his pass catchers go, tends to be a letdown spot for Smith, for Goddard, but a good matchup here with the Jets. The ground game in a real good matchup, but they're sounding more optimistic, like Miles Sanders may be able to give it a go this week. So you're once again dealing with that committee here. Jets side, just been a mess. You know, we'll see if they get anybody back here, but Elijah Moore been up and down. Crowder was a disappointment last week. Now you got more pieces in the backfield here with Austin Walter. So, Derek, makes sense of this one. The Jets, it's tough to get excited about anything in Philly. We're dealing with some injuries in the backfield and with Jalen Hurts.
Man, it felt real gross on Sunday morning when Corey Davis got ruled out and all three of the Jets receivers kind of popped in the projections. That didn't feel good, and obviously it didn't turn out very good. So, yeah, I don't know what to do with the Jets at this point. They're just not a team that I love. And the Eagles, they want to run the ball. So I think they're going to be able to dominate the time of possession in this one, limit the number of possessions that the Jets have. So I'm just not really looking to target anyone from New York, even though they are playing at home. Philly side, yeah, I think Hurts is going to be fine if he's out there. I think he's going to be solid coming off of a bad game against the Giants. I know, you know, ankle injury is obviously going to hurt, you know, his ability to run, but I think he'll be all right. And I do think that will lead to lower ownership. Running game, just a wait-and-see approach. You know, if Sanders is out, if Howard's out again, then you can definitely go to Boston Scott. If they have two of the three active, then I'll probably just avoid it. And with them, you know, being favorites and with them wanting to run the ball, it's just, man, it's hard for me to click on Smith or Goddard right now or go there.
Go there, baby. Get it right.
My bad. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're both fine. They both have upside. They're both pretty affordable. So if you are playing Hurts, I don't mind stacking them. Maybe, you know, his mobility being hurt will, you know, lead to him throwing it a little bit more, but kind of feel like that's a pipe dream at this point. And for my pick, give me the Eagles to bounce back. I like them to cover here.
All right, I'm going under on this one. Just, you know, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think Philadelphia is going to be able to control things on the ground. The Jets offense, who knows what they're going to look like with Zach Wilson and these three running backs. Philadelphia's defense, I think, is a solid play here. So I'm going to make it three unders in a row. I guess I'm on the chop plan from last week. It worked for him. Three unders in a row, but I just see an ugly game here. So under for me. Chop, what do you got here? Philly and the Jets.
Man, I fell for the Miles Sanders trap on Sunday, and I knew better because I knew exactly what he's done for the last two or three years, and I still fell for it, and I got burned by it. So I don't even know if I would go to him, even if he's in. I don't think I'd go to him, and it'd probably be my downfall. But, yeah, I don't know, man. This is a tough game because the Jets are just not that good offensively. Philly's decent on defense, so I'm not sure how much – these Jets I want. I just don't see a scenario where I'm rostering Zach Wilson at all this year. Just hasn't looked good. And running backs are kind of a mess. And the one guy I want to roster is Elijah Moore. But, you know, sometimes he just – with Zach Wilson there, he just doesn't get the ball enough, it doesn't seem like. So, I don't know. I have a hard time with the Jets rostering any of them. The Eagles, I think, if Hurts has got to run the ball. If he doesn't run, I don't want him in fantasy, period. That's it. So – if he's even slightly banged up and the mobility is going to be limited, that's a big red X for me, man. And I think Devontae is really good. I think Devontae could be the guy here that gets off. So kind of on maybe Devontae or bust in this game, but this doesn't scream anything but maybe a one-off on Philly for me. So for the pick, let's see. One guy went Philly, one guy went the under. That's a tough one because I'm kind of torn here. I can see Philly. I can also see the under. Hurts mobility being limited is interesting. Go ahead and give me the Jets. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give you guys a chance. I'm going to give you guys a chance to catch up. Let me give you guys a chance to catch up here, man.
Did not see that one. I was penciling you in for one or the other with Philly or the under, and you throw a curveball here with the Jets. I don't hate it. I mean, kind of similar to the Lions, the Jets at home catching points. Philly's, we talk about the Chargers and Philly being those teams that as soon as you have faith in them, they burn you. So maybe this is a letdown spot for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Chop throws the curveball with the Jets. Next game, another New York team, the Giants traveling to Miami, -5 here, a very low total at 40.5. And the return of the neck, Mike Glennon back in the lineup here for the New York Giants. Daniel Jones dealing with an injury. So, Chop, we'll stay with you here. We've seen this movie before with Mike Glennon. It's not pretty. I mean, he's surrounded by weapons, no doubt. I mean, this team is very frustrating with the amount of talent they have that they can't put more points on the board. But that's been the case here. Miami's defense playing a lot better here. Jalen Waddle starting to play well. Tua playing well. The running backs, the issue, Phillip Lindsay saw 12 carries last week. So it kind of dings Myles Gaskin a little bit as that workhorse. But I love Waddle here, and I'm going to go with the Dolphins for my pick, -5. I'm not believing in Mike Glennon here, Chop. Any more optimism for you? What else you liking here in this game, Giants and Dolphins?
I do like Saquon Barkley, I think, this week. That'd be my favorite Giants player. I'm not sold that Mike Glennon's going to be any worse than Daniel Jones has been. So you never know. He may be able to get the ball to one of those. I mean, they desperately need to get the ball to Kenny Galladay somehow. They signed him to that contract in the offseason, and he needs to do something, and they need to get him the ball. And so maybe Mike Glennon's the guy to do it because Daniel Jones couldn't get any worse than Daniel Jones is what I'm saying. So you just never know. And they fired Jason Garrett before last week, so you never know. This could be the big breakout we've been looking for. But I do like Barkley. On the Miami side, yeah, I like Tua. I like Waddle. I'm going to pass on the running backs, and I'm going to pretty much pass on Gesicki. He may be in some guy's player pool, but he hasn't done enough for me with other guys getting healthy. And Waddle taking over as, like, the number one guy here. So I like Tua. I like Waddle. And you know what? Break up the Dolphins, man. They've, like, four or five wins in a row now. and I've benefited from it, you know, with the picks here. So I'm going to ride them. Give me the Dolphins again.
All right, Derek, over to you. Are we adding to the parlay card here? Two bets on Miami. They have looked good. The offense is playing better. The defense playing good. And the opposing Mike Glennon on the other side. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm just laughing at Josh Duck in the chat. He says, I've watched Glennon, and it does definitely get worse. So.
I agree. I can't disagree with that at all, Josh.
So, yeah, it actually sounds like Daniel Jones could still suit up. You know, he's listed as questionable. It says he might play. So that would definitely help the Giants, I would think. But I still like the Dolphins in this one. From a DFS perspective, you never know what to do with the wideouts from New York because they're all listed as questionable. Everyone's hurt all the time. So if they are shorthanded, I don't mind going to Evan Ingram. He's cheap. I've been getting more targets recently. And then Saquon Barkley, 87% snap rate last week. So he's back to playing almost every single down. So I don't hate him as a play. But the Dolphins, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's just not a great spot for running backs on the road. 18-point implied total, that's pretty ugly. Dolphins side, you can go to Gaskin. He's still struggling with efficiency, but he should have some red zone opportunities again. And you guys mentioned Waddle. I mean, he's been very good recently, so I don't mind going back there. And, yeah, add this to the parlay card. I think the Dolphins keep it going. If they win this week, they can pull within, like, a game of the playoff picture.
That's crazy. Everyone's all jammed together in both – I think the NFC, it's pretty much everybody, but Detroit and Seattle and AFC pretty tight as well. So I think it's the first time we've hit a three-teamer in a while. So feeling good about the parlay card. Not feeling good about our chances to catch Chop if we're all in agreement here. But so far, so good on the parlay. So let's move on. Next game, we got Indy and Houston. The Colts -9, another middling total here at 45.5. So – Derek, let's stay with you here. Now, obviously, Jonathan Taylor going to be one of the top plays on the slate. Do you want to pay that price here against this Houston Texans team? And Houston, I ask the question every week. It's pretty much Brandon Cooks or bust. Is he the running back option here? And do the Texans have any shot in this game against the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, 10-5 on FanDuel is a lot to pay for Jonathan Taylor.
Yes, sir.
But obviously, he has slate-breaking upside. I mean, he did it against the Bills. So he can obviously do it against the Texans. You know, they have been pretty good against the pass. It's probably just because teams haven't had to throw the ball against them all that much this season. But 25th in DVOA against the run. We know this offensive line, one of the best in football. We know Jonathan Taylor, one of the best in football. So I like him. I doubt I'll get there in, like, cash games just because, you know, some of the value running backs allow you to do a little bit more in terms of your roster. But certainly wouldn't talk anyone out of playing him. I think Pittman could be an interesting leverage play if it does look like Taylor's going to be popular. He's pretty cheap across the industry. I just worry about game script, but yeah, I think they're both interesting. I don't know if I would go to Wentz. I think you know, they're going to be able to control this game on the ground. So a little bit of interest there. Other side, man, they've been playing a little bit better, the Texans. So maybe you could look to Brandon Cooks. Tyrod Taylor became like a popular cash game quarterback last week, which was kind of interesting. I didn't really understand that other than the fact that he was cheap here. And it's obviously a better matchup for the pass game than the running game. But, yeah, I won't go to Taylor. I'll take a couple shares of Cooks and, you know, build some skinny stacks with Taylor and Pittman. For my pick, I'm tempted to take the home team again, but I'm going to take the over.
Over. All right. I'm on the under here in this one. You mentioned the Texans playing better. I think the appeal for Tyrod or Tyrod, whatever the hell his name is these days, was the matchup. I mean, there was the price, obviously, but a matchup with the Jets, a cheap stacking partner with not cheap, but middle of the range with Cooks, and then an easy run back cheap on the Jets side. So I saw that gaining steam as well Sunday, Derek. I kind of had the same concerns that you did, but Chop in the spot. Same questions. Do we want to pay up for Jonathan Taylor here? Obviously, in a good spot. We know what he can do. Is he worth the price here? And then is it Cooks on the other side? Do you just play him by himself? Or maybe you go to the Colts passing game. What do you want to do here? Colts, Texans.
All right. So I got a question for Derek real quick. I might be out of the loop, and I think I know what you're talking about. But what exactly is a skinny stack?
Just one from each team. Like a running back and a wide receiver, or wide receiver and wide receiver.
So a Taylor and Brandon Cooks.
So not the quarterbacks.
Okay. What then? Is there such thing as a fat stack?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, there's got to be. We got to make a new We got to get a new term out there. Let's get it going.
That would be Wentz, Taylor, Pittman, and somebody. I mean, a three-man is common.
Oh, I like it.
How about a four-man, three-plus
offensive players from the same team, fat stack. I like
You're pushing four bills, you're a fat stack.
There you go. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be one of my most owned players this week. I don't mind paying the price. There's value. You can always make it work. And he has the he's showing the upside that wins GPPs. And I think the benefit here, and I like to play narratives more than a lot of the straight numbers like Derek. The narrative for me here is that these guys still are a playoff team, the Colts. They're trying to be. And they lost last week. Now, I think it would be a whole different mindset if they beat Tampa and you're riding high and then you got to go on the road and then you got to, you know, maybe you have a letdown spot. But no, you lost that game to Tampa. So you got to come in here and you know you got to win and take care of business. I think they do. I think they feed Taylor early and he gets loose. So I'm good with Taylor. I'm not, you know, I've done this Brandon Cooks. You know, he had some nice garbage time stuff at the beginning of the year. Not really very much lately. Like, he caught his pass for a touchdown last week in, like, the second quarter, and it was like, oh, my God, here it comes. Here comes the big Brandon Cooks game. Nope, that was it, just that one little touchdown pass. So I'm not sure anybody that has to get the ball thrown to him by Tyrod Taylor is going to be a guy I want to roster heavily too much. So not a big Texans guy. I do like the Colts pieces. Jonathan Taylor, first and foremost, will be a heavy, heavy part of my teams on both FanDuel and DraftKings because I think he could have a monster game. So with all that being said, and I hope Tyrod doesn't take offense to this, but I don't see how the Texans are going to score very many points. So I'm going Indianapolis here.
All right, Colts for Chop, under and an over. So we're all over the board on this one. So before we transition to the afternoon slate, got four games there. We're going to take a look back at last week, some of the top performers in our OGs contest. Again, you want to get involved in this, FanDuel.com/OG. Limited spots available. So go right now, reserve your entry, just $7. Single entry, everybody gets one. There's payouts for the weekly contest. There's also season-long payouts. So we're going to take a look at that season-long leaderboard here as well. But want to give a shout-out to the top five this week. We'll start with Vikings, 55, 142.78. Looks like they rode the Cousins, Jefferson, Eli Mitchell, 25 at the running back spot was huge, under 10% on there. A big game from Deebo Samuel and T. Higgins, along with the Cincinnati defense. So congrats to them. Next up, fourth place, Meat B 2014, 143.48, had Aaron Rodgers, a big game at 1.3% owned. Devontae Adams in that lineup, ran it back with Cooper Kupp. Again, big game from Deebo Samuel. And that aforementioned Miami defense paired with Myles Gaskin for about 41 fantasy points there. So a nice pairing on that one. Third place went to Kryork, 11, 148.18. Had Matthew Stafford with Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. Again, we see the Miami defense. Joe Mixon in this lineup as well, 30 points on FanDuel and survived duds from Miles Sanders and Michael Pittman. Second place, Hyde, 1975, 153.54. I had Tom Brady in this lineup. So Brady to Gronk, it wasn't terrible, but certainly not the best stack out there, but did have Joe Mixon. Javonte Williams with a big game at 12% ownership. And just solid across the board, Deebo Samuel. And we once again see the Miami defense for 23 points. And our first place winter, King Smurf 23, rocking the Roto Grinders badge. So guess what, King Smurf, if you haven't already, congratulations. You win a year of Roto Grinders combo premium. So you can reach out to any of us and we'll get you set up on that. But the lineup, pretty impressive here. Carson Wentz at the quarterback position. Michael Pittman, his run back. Leonard Fournette, 3.8% owned in this contest. 40 points there. 30 from Joe Mixon, so 70 out of his running backs, and he survived. Goddard, Chop, one catch. That's it, 0.5. So your boy not doing much there. Dalvin Cook, we know, left that game early, only 11 points. Elijah Moore, only 7. So it goes to show you that, you know, you can hit some duds and still do well. So Congrats to King Smurf 23 on not only the wins, $500 here off his $7, her $7, also some free Roto Grinders, a combo premium. So if you want in on the deal, we're going to run it back. Rock that Roto Grinders badge, get first place, and you're going to be winning that combo premium for a year. So Chop, season-long leaderboards. We have to do our urinal cakes check and check on everybody else here in the standings, see where Derek's at. How are we looking on the season-long leaderboard?
Yeah, I think you hit on a good point. This isn't like some big GPP where there's thousands of people and you have to be perfect almost. You can have like two, three, or one or two guys at least that just don't do anything and they bail out on you and you can still win this thing. And you've said that many times this year that, oh, this guy survived, you know, the dud from this guy. That's the beauty of playing in a somewhat limited single entry thing is you can have a dud or two and still win the whole thing. So that's good. And we got a long ways to go. We only went through week 12. So we got the extra week this year. It's going to be a long, long journey here to the end of this thing. So at some point this will shake up, but JMB Wing hanging strong up there in third place, man. He had another big week this week with 138.52. So keep putting those out. You're going to be in pretty good shape. Urinal Cakes fell off a little bit. 21st place, poor guy, 96.74 this week. Let me take a look here. I know I saw Dean got bumped out the top 100, so I ain't worried about him. Our boy Yisman, he's a big Discord guy for us. He's in 31, and I saw Derek here earlier.
Got some bad news, guys. I think I forgot to put in a team.
That's the beauty of it. You can have a week like that where you just completely forget, and I think you're still in top 60. Yeah, you're in 55th place, even with the big blank spot this week. That's the beauty of it, guys.
Speaking of blank spots, go up to the top again. There's two guys up near the top that have missed 2 weeks.
This guy in 41st.
There's a couple right at the top that have missed two. They got to be looking real good right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at this. The guy in 13th place missed the first 2 weeks of the year. Now, that's the way this thing goes. You just need 10 scores. Doesn't matter how you get there. Just 10, get you 10 scores and you're eligible here. You know, and if you've played all, just then the beauty of playing every week is it's going to be your 10 best scores, and that helps you out. But just get you 10 scores to qualify. So, yeah, man, there's a long ways to go here.
Yeah, I mean, 6 weeks to go. So even if you haven't played yet, I mean, there's still your chances of winning the 5,000 maybe are a little rough, but you put some big numbers on the board. You take down one of these weeks, it's $500 to the winner. Combo premium is a hell of a prize just for rocking the Roto Grinders badge. So there's no incentive not to play in it, and you get to play against us. So we're going to highlight who does well here. We think it's a fun tournament. So again, it's limited spots. So go right now, Derek. You should as well. FanDuel.com/OG. Hit that reserve button, and then you're all set. You come back and you fill in the lineup later. So everything you need on that page. Play now takes you to the game. You can view that leaderboard there. And the drops are going to start coming into play. So this leaderboard, if you're down there a little ways, now's the time that you're going to make a run up that leaderboard. If you've had some down weeks, you put a couple big ones on the board, you're really going to see yourself jump up. So come and support the show. Come and support the sponsor, FanDuel.com/OG. All right, before we get into the afternoon games, we have to update our bet here. We're tracking every single pick that we are giving you guys. And keeping a leaderboard ourselves. So bad news for me and Derek here. I had a rough week. I mean, three last week. So I obviously fell down. Derek, you weren't terrible. Six correct last week. But our boy Chop putting a 9 on the board here in week 12. So we said if somebody puts a big number on the board, they're going to start separating. So we are starting to see that now. Chop sitting on top with 72. Derek, you are 5 back at 67, and Chop has opened up a 10-game lead on your boy here sitting at 62. So just, the 3 combined with the 9 certainly did not help anything.
Just to jinx him a little more, Chop, send us your Venmo for the season-long bet, and we'll get it ready to go.
Pay that out now and be done with it. So Chop running away, easy victory here on this contest for Chop. So enjoy our dollars, Chop. Congratulations. You are the big winner here.
Yeah, I should be ashamed of you, James.
No shame in my game, man. Whatever it takes to get back in this thing. But let's turn back to the games here. 4-game afternoon slate here. So a nice selection of games. I love when it's four games, just that much better than the two or the threes. First game, Derek, we got your Jags in action, traveling to LA to take on the Rams. Obviously a high spread here. We're sitting at 13 in the FanDuel Sportsbook, 47.5 on that total. So Chop, we'll stay with you. The Rams, we got to keep an eye on Darrell Henderson, dealing with a little bit of an injury coming out of that Green Bay game. He's pretty much the only big name that we have to watch injury-wise here. Does Jacksonville have any shot in this game? We've seen them be competitive in games. They beat the Buffalo Bills. We've seen them lay down and lose to a lot of teams they probably should have been competitive with. This feels like a spot the Rams should get things going, but do they cover this 13 points doing that?
Do the Jags have a shot? No way. I find it hard to believe that they're going to be able to hang in this game at all. So I think you probably got a coach who's right now, he's probably on the phone trying to see if there's still room for him at Notre Dame to take on the Notre Dame job, you know,
or USC.
Well, USC's filled. That's the USC.
Oh yeah, that's right. Lincoln Riley. All right.
Or maybe he goes to Oklahoma, who knows? But I think he's done with the Jags. So, you know, I just think he's kind of checked out, man. So, I don't trust them at all going on the road. The Rams coming off of a tough loss there. I think they right the ship. I don't want any Jags players. The Rams are all on the table if you want to go that route. If you want to pay up for
that stack?
I think so, because I think, you know, a team total of 30, and we could see it. Man, you know, in the NFL, you can't predict a 40-point game from a team. That's a lot. This ain't college, but – you can see them creep up to the 34, 37 points. I could see a big game here for the Rams, and in which case I do remember back in the day, there's really not a team that does it now, but back in the day, every week, if you stacked Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, you'd hit like once every 4 or 5 weeks, you'd win the GPP because that's how good they were on offense. I think this could be one of those games for the Rams where they just explode. So I don't mind any of those guys you want to pair together, however you want to piece them together. Skinny stack, fat stack, I don't care. Just take some Rams, guys. I think Rams smoke them pretty good, so give me the Rams with the points here.
Yeah, I'm with the Rams as well. It's a big number, but I'm surprised it's under 14. So if I can lock it in at 13, happy to do that. I agree with you. I don't want anything to do with Jacksonville. James Robinson generally finds the end zone, but the upside pretty capped here. And I think this bounce-back spot for Stafford, a cup has been good. It just hasn't been as good as we've seen earlier in the season, so maybe he gets it going. Another week for Odell to get worked into this lineup, and Van Jefferson has been fantastic. So a lot of talk in the chat here about the Rams, asking about Sony Michel. Don Easy, I think that's a great play if Henderson is out, no doubt. OBJ is cheap, says Josh Duck. Don Easy talking about Van Jefferson, OBJ. So, Derek, if we're going to have a fat stack here, we're unleashing this – this on the people here. This feels like the team to certainly unleash it on your Jaguars with the Rams here.
Yeah, if Henderson ends up being out, the fat stack is fully in play. Cooper Kupp's no longer 10,000 or whatever he was a couple weeks ago. And, yeah, you can beat the Jags pretty much any way you want. So I like Cooper Kupp. I like the running back, whether it's Henderson or Michelle. Stafford's obviously viable as well. Jags' worst pass defense in the NFL. And I agree with you guys. I'm not playing anyone from Jacksonville. I will also be taking the Rams. But, Beard, I mean, you're finally hopping off the Jags. What are you doing?
Well, you can only get beat down so many times, and you lose your enthusiasm here. So I wanted to see if you were going to bet them on the money line here. What we got? Plus 470 looking like?
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
Oh, I mean, who would have thought they would beat the Bills? Who knows? Maybe they shocked the world here.
Give me the minus 650 for the Rams.
Are you locking in Rams minus 13, or are you hitting the total then?
Yeah, give me the Rams.
All right, that's the fourth edition here. We're building a – speaking of fat stacks, we got a fat parlay going here. So I will recap that at the end, and we'll see if we're going to add anything more to it. Next game, this one should be fun. Pretty high total here, Derek. Washington – and the Las Vegas Raiders, we're sitting at Las Vegas minus 2.5, a total at 49.5. So big story here, looking doubtful for Darren Waller of the Raiders. So Foster Moreau looks like a cheap tight end option for you. Washington side, McKissick looking questionable at best. So maybe Antonio Gibson gets more involved in the passing game. He looked great in that game against Seattle, but if McKissick's going to be out, he could be in play here. And an interesting stat here. It is obviously small sample stuff, but Tyler Haneke's best game, in fact, four of his best games this season have all come on the road. That has paired with Terry McLaurin. His big games have come in that same scenario. So just an interesting stat I saw today. But, Derek, a fun game here. There's value. There's stacks you can go to. There's cheap pieces. How are you handling this one, football team and the Raiders?
Man, I just can't get the Raiders right for the life of me. I thought the Cowboys would smoke them, especially after Darren Waller went down. And then that obviously wasn't the case on Thanksgiving. So they picked up another surprising win. I'm still not high on this team, you know, overall. But if Waller ends up being out, you can look to Moreau. Obviously going to be, you know, big uptick in target share for Hunter Renfrow as well. Pretty tough matchup for Jacobs, so I'd rather stick to the passing game there. And Washington, man, Taylor Heineke, just an easy guy to root for. He's like a super grinder, and he's very humble, you know, in all of his interviews. So I like him quite a bit. I probably won't be using him for DFS, but an easy guy to root for. I like McLaurin as sort of a one-off in this game. I also think, you know, Gibson is in a really good spot. Vegas pretty average against the run. And just to go with my pick, I like Washington to win in this spot. So if that's going to happen, I think they're going to get it down on the ground, and that's going to be with Gibson. So give me Washington plus the points.
All right, I'm a little bit more optimistic on Heineke here. That this Vegas defense, not been good against quarterbacks. He gives you a little bit of rushing upside. He has that gunslinger mentality. You got Logan Thomas back. If Gibson's going to be utilized as a receiver, I just like his weaponry here against this Vegas team. So, Chop, I really like the stack here with Heineke and McLaurin. Gibson, I think, will be popular, so it's a way to maybe get off of that. I also like Gibson, you know, as even a cash game type play. It's the Raiders side you worry about a little bit without Waller. Again, Moreau, a solid value, just 2,700 on DK, cheap on FanDuel as well. Hunter Renfrow obviously becomes more of a target. So a stackable game, Chop. Which pieces are you picking out of this one?
Yeah, so I'll start off with this one. You put me down on the list for the over in this game. Put me down on the over. I'll say, because I'm much like Derek, I can't pick the Raiders here. Like, I just can't get them right, no matter what I do. I kind of don't think they're a good team, but then they kind of keep winning games and staying in, even with losing, you know, big pieces of Ruggs a few weeks ago, and they're still competitive. And now they're out Waller, but they'll still be competitive. So I can't pick against them, and I can't pick with them. I can't pick with them without Waller, but can't pick against them. So I'll just take the over because they seem like they get into some, I don't know, maybe I'm just making this up, but seems like they get into some shootouts at home. I'd have to look that up. But with that being said, I'm with you guys as far as I think McLaurin, Gibson, Heineke are all in play. Logan Thomas is back and got targeted a fair amount. So I think he's in play at a very weak position this year, tight end. On the flip side, Carr just keeps delivering 300-yard games, man, getting you the bonus on DraftKings, and his price really doesn't climb up very much higher than it is right now. So Carr and pairing with somebody, Renfrow or Foster Moreau, is going to be a popular cheap play, as he should be. So, yeah, I like the over in this game, and I think there's a – the only thing I'll caution against, I won't be taking a running back for the Raiders. That's the only thing that I'm scratching off my list is a running back for the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's tough to trust Jacobs right now with as much work as Drake gets. And maybe he gets more involved in a passing game. Hell, maybe both of them do, but without Waller. But tough to go there. I'm going to go under on this one. I'm not as optimistic on a shootout here. I get what you're saying. These defenses have certainly disappointed this year. But that's a big number here for two middling offenses. You know, we talked about Heineke has been good. But he's also been bad in spots. Carr, the same way. They look great against Dallas. But one of those teams that can certainly disappoint as well. So I'm going to go under that 49.5. Next one, Chop, will stay with you. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, Ravens -4 in this one, total sitting at 44. So Baltimore survived. Lamar Jackson was awful. A lot of interceptions in that game. They got the win. Pittsburgh just went and got throttled by Cincinnati. So Chop, which one kind of rises up here? You know, Baltimore, yes, they got the win, but it wasn't pretty. Can Pittsburgh respond here in division? Are they just sticking a fork in them? We talk about Dusty Ben, and maybe it's Dusty Steelers here or Baltimore. Just roll them. What do you got here? Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Ben is so bad, man. He's just so bad. So terrible. I just can't. He just drains the life out of this team. It's unfortunate because they got the weapons. They got the running back and the wide receivers and a good defense, but he just drains them. So Definitely can't touch that side of it. But I guess the Ravens, they're a tough, they're a weird defense because they will give up. They will give up some big games, but generally speaking, they're pretty solid defense. So not sure I'm in love with Najee Harris here, and I definitely don't – definitely not in love with the wide receivers with Ben trying to get him the ball. So Pittsburgh side is tough for me. The Baltimore side's a little easier. I think Lamar is fine. I think he'll run a little bit more this game, and that'll boost up his value. You can go to Mark Andrews. I think that's his most secure target, and I wouldn't trust any running backs for Baltimore. So, yeah, I just think maybe the Lamar – Mark Andrews stack is looking pretty good. Wide receivers are kind of – Marquise started off good, but Bateman's in there now, so he's kind of taken away a little bit. I'm not sure I like that those guys dueling it out either. So with all that being said, I think that Pittsburgh's defense pretty good. Baltimore's defense pretty good. Big Ben pretty bad. So go ahead and give me the under in this game. Give me that under.
I am also on the under here. I hate to – be on the same thing with you, trying to make up some ground, but I agree completely. There's not a lot I like in this game. We're getting questions about Bateman. He's fine. You know, Freiermuth dealing with a little bit of an injury. If he's in there, he's fine, but this one could be ugly. That's all, the in division. So I'm kind of staying away from this one. I see an ugly game. That leads me to an under. So, Derek, your thoughts here, Ravens and Steelers.
Don't like this game one bit from a DFS perspective. The only player I would look to for Baltimore is Lamar Jackson. And then on the other side, you could maybe bring it back with Deontay or Najee Harris. They kind of feel like they're cheaper than usual. And Baltimore, they do struggle against the pass. They're good against the run. So maybe Johnson can get 15 targets. Maybe Najee gets, you know, double-digit targets. But I'm not looking to load up on this game by any means. And man, it feels like the under, that was going to be my pick, and I guess I can't go away from it now. So we're making a Christmas shopping parlay. So if we hit this, everyone's going to be able to buy extra presents for those guys.
Yes, you will. I mean, we're talking a five-teamer here. We still got one game to go, so we'll see. We're getting crazy here this week. Last game, San Francisco and Seattle. Niners sitting at -3.5, a total sitting at 45.5. So, Derek, wrap us up here. The Niners been looking good. Seattle, not so much. Another ugly performance with Russell Wilson. The whole DK Metcalf not getting many targets. Tyler Lockett looks great in the first half, then disappears. The running game been non-existent. So I'm going to lock in the Niners here. The way they're playing on both sides of the ball, I know we're missing Debo Samuel here. So more opportunity for Brandon Ayuk, more targets for George Kittle. I think it even helps out a guy like Elijah Mitchell not having some of those carries and jet sweeps taken away by Debo Samuel. So it looks like we may have some weather issues here. It's early in the week, so not going to dig too much into that. But I am locking in the Niners here, Derek. This Seattle team just looks terrible right now.
They look bad. And shout out to Adam Levitan of Established the Run. You know, he went back and did some digging, and he noted the exact time where DK Metcalf talked about the foursome with Russell Wilson's wife or whatever. And since then, he's had like 8 targets in 3 or 4 games. So maybe there is something to that. I mean, it's mostly a joke, but I mean, he's clearly not getting the targets that, you know, he used to get. So Wilson doesn't look right. The running game, I don't want to trust Collins or Dallas. So I would maybe, you know, look to lock it a little bit. I think, you know, he's interesting at the price point, but yeah, I don't have a ton of faith in the Seahawks as a whole. And then I agree with you. I like Mitchell and I like Kittle for San Fran. So I'm going to take the under just because I don't want to add yet another to the parlay card.
Yeah, we don't need a six-teamer. Now you're talking fat to obese stack, whatever you want to call it. So Chop, finish us up here. Seattle looks terrible. Niners look great. Are you bucking that trend here, playing some Seahawks, or how are you handling this one, Niners and Seattle?
No, not playing any Seahawks. They're terrible right now. They're absolutely horrendous. And I keep thinking Russell's done this thing his whole career where no matter how bad his team is, he still keeps them competitive and chance to win at the end again. He's just not doing it this year. They're just really bad. So, no, Niners playing pretty good. Got themselves a nice running back there, Elijah Mitchell, man. So, Ayuk, this is an Ayuk game if I've ever seen one right here. This is about to happen for him. So get ready for the Ayuk blow up. Love it. Can never play Garoppolo. I don't give a damn who he's playing. Not gonna play Jimmy G, but Ayuk is fine. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm with beer on this one. at Frisco, I just like, I can't. Russell just looks so bad. He's been their offense, period, for like so many years, and he's just not playing well. Maybe it's the finger, I don't know, but he's not getting it done, so they're not getting it done. Give me the Niners.
All right, Niners it is. So let's recap here. We're done with the analysis. So it looks like a five-teamer that we are in agreement on this week. So
maybe you break that up to a 2 and a 3.
I don't go crazy with – I mean, the parlays are fun and all, but generally not very good for the pocketbook, we'll say, not plus EV. So, Derek, can you send these out from the OG's account? But games that we agree on here to wrap it up, we all like the Chargers +3 in Cincinnati. We're all on the under in the Arizona-Chicago game at 45.5. We're all with Miami -5 against the Giants. We are all on the Rams -13 against Jacksonville. And we all agreed on the under 44 in the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. So, Chop, it's got to be music to your ears to hear all these agreements when you're riding the nice little lead there in our contest. So, final thoughts for the people here, Chop, week 13. What do you got, buddy?
You know, this is like the being a DFS contest, and you're in like maybe the third quarter of the early games. Like there's still a whole night slate left, and there's a lot of time left. Don't be chalking me up already, guys. Come on now. But I think you know, it looks like a fun week. I don't know. It's a weekend after Thanksgiving. We had a lot of activity, so now it kind of calms down a little bit. I'm looking forward to a little college football on Saturday, some championship games. Shout out to Michigan getting there past Ohio State, man. I didn't think that was going to happen. So it's going to be a fun day Saturday and followed up by a fun day on Sunday. And can't wait.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Michigan's kind of my backup team. I'm loyal to my Badgers. No doubt. The wife works at University of Michigan. So they're always,
Your Badgers, man, let me tell you something. Oh, they got a 17-year-old boy right there he's running over grown men, 17 years old. They're just wait till next year. Next year's your year.
They broke my heart, Chop. I was probably heading to Indy, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Big Ten championship. Bags were packed. My buddy already had tickets, and they can't even go and beat Minnesota. So, no Big Ten championship for this guy, but looking forward to it, no doubt. Alabama, Georgia, I mean, there's going to be some fun games on Saturday. So, Derek, final thoughts here for the people, week 13. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, don't forget my Utes. If they win this week, they'll be in the Pac-12 championship. So, after their start to the season, anything's gravy at this point. Hey, yeah, thanks for watching.
My Cougs in the AAC championship, Derek. Come on now. We're all in there. We're all in there. Oh, except the Badgers, my bad.
Next year.
I also saw a tweet, you know, the NFL version of Top Shot is going to be out soon, so excited for that. Maybe you guys can get some packs this time around.
That'd be nice, since I got skunked on every pack drop that's happened in Top Shot. But nice little refresher there for the NFL, so looking forward to that as well. Looking forward to these games on Sunday. Thank you everybody for listening. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. That five-teamer, we'll see. Maybe let one ride, like Derek said, a little Christmas coming early here from the OGs. And make sure you guys are heading over to our OGs contest on FanDuel, FanDuel.com/OG. All the information you need right there. Go and support the sponsor of the show. They also a great sports book, tons of different offerings there, single game parlays, casino, everything you need right there. Thank you to FanDuel for sponsoring the show. For Notorious, for Head Chopper, I am Beer. We are the DFS OGs. Thank you so much for watching, for listening. Best of luck this week in your contest, and we'll catch you next week.